Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. It's my honor to have as my guest today Dana Vogelmeyer, a nationally known specialist in employee engagement. Dana worked for 33 years for a Fortune 50 company where she honed her skills in leadership and consulting, and she began her own consulting company in 2016 called Vogelmeyer Consulting. The purpose of her consulting company is to help executives and managers develop workplaces that people love. Dana believes everyone should feel good about going to work and feel fulfilled at the end of the day. When they do, everything outside of work feels and works better too. Dana is actively involved at the local and national level with the Association of Talent Development and is an active member in Rotary International. Dana, it's so good to see you. Got to meet you through a friend, mutual friend, and glad you were able to come and be on the podcast today. You know, before I start all my podcasts, I ask people what they're most thankful for in their lives. So tell us a little bit about you and what you're most thankful for.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me. So I think if I were to kind of drill it down to like one person or thing that I'm most grateful for, I would say it's my husband. We've been married 33 years. And just like any couple that's been married that long, I mean, you have seen and experienced so many things together. But one of the wonderful things about where I'm at right now in my work as a self-employed person is that he had been self-employed for more than 25 years before I became self-employed. He's been such a good cheerleader for me. He was like, you can absolutely do this and I will help you and I will support you in any way that I can. But also, like, having had that experience himself, he said, you're going to experience some downs and some rejections and it's okay. It's not you. Learn early not to take it personally. It's not you. It's just part of doing business. And he's been just really good about reminding me of that and also encouraging me and believing in what I do. And I just recently, I wrote a book. It's being edited as we speak, so it's not published yet. But I asked him to write the foreword for my book because I also felt like he has seen and experienced so much of my work life and the ups and downs of my work life. And that's what the book is about. It's leadership stories. And so he had a unique perspective about all of the things that I've experienced and what taught me to do things better and what taught me to not do. So I would say Scott is the person I'm most grateful for.
Sounds like having a Scott's made a big difference for you. And yeah, I mean, to have that one person who's unconditionally there is most of our success in life. So, well, thanks for sharing about your husband, Scott. I know he's a small-time leader, but who is another small-time leader in your life that you'd like to share today?
So I would really like to tell a story about, I'd say, the best boss that I ever personally experienced. His name was Barry. And just to give you a little background, I worked for 33 years at State Farm Insurance. And I left just about 2 years ago to go out on my own. And I had started as a file clerk at a very young age, and I was working my way through college, and State Farm had tuition reimbursement. So I was so grateful to get hired there and have somebody help pay for my college. But I started as a file clerk and just kind of worked my way up through different promotions, earned my degree, got my first professional role. But then I got this amazing opportunity to work on a pilot for the very first call center that State Farm was ever going to have. And I kind of jumped at the chance. It was working off hours. It was very ambiguous, but it sounded exciting. So I took this chance to go work in this new unit, and it led to an opportunity to move to our corporate offices. And when I moved to corporate, the second boss that I had there was Barry. And I was a new leader, this, you know, maybe even 1 year into leading people officially for the first time. And up to that point, you know, I kind of knew how to be an individual contributor. I knew how to work that way and get my work accomplished. But now as leading a team and collaborating with cross-functional teams across this big organization, I didn't really know how to do that. And I felt like for a little while, I was kind of bumping around, not getting it right or getting some things right, but thinking, why am I not as effective as I could be? And Barry, when he became my boss, first he took the time to have some conversation. We got to know each other. He observed me. And then he used real situations where we would be in meetings together. And when it was over, he would say, you know, here's what I saw you do or heard you say. And here's how people perceive that. And those real examples, that feedback that I needed in real time, very specific, just opened my eyes to why I was kind of bumping into walls. And hearing that made all the difference in any future opportunity that I was going to have. Because once I could hear the feedback and realize it for real, then I could work differently. And then my team got so much better and I got so much better.
Yeah. So this was not a 6-month evaluation. He did it along the way.
That's right.
Kind of as a model for that, with just real time after a meeting, sit and talk with you. So can you remember any of the feedback that he gave you that still kind of resonates with you?
Yeah, I remember in one very specific situation, it was a large meeting with pretty much all of the leaders in our division there. And my team was the training team, and there was something that was getting rolled out. So my team was going to have to train everybody. And I made a comment, something to the effect of like how big it was. And I didn't qualify it by saying something like, you know, I'm going to need to get some more details about all the things that people will need to be trained on. I need to understand how large this is so that I can adequately give you what you need to know. Instead, I came across just like, this sounds like a lot and we've got these other things to do and I don't think we can do it. It kind of wasn't an option to not do it, to not roll out. And so I was being the obstacle in getting all of this work done.
So I bet you had some funny looks in the room. Yeah,
I did. And, you know, in my head, right, in my head, all these things are like, oh, my gosh, you know, but the way it was coming out of my mouth was, again, that like, well, we can't do this. And that was not the right answer. So he said he helped me and by saying, you know, maybe if you came across and said it something like this, you know, you're still telling everybody, here's what I'm going to need to know before I can commit. And he said, and then the thing is, too, that I'm there. And if you're going to need more resources, then you can tell me that you're going to need more resources, and then I can help you get those. But the answer is yes, because we're doing this project. The answer is not no. And that really helped. And the thing about, like, after, you know, I had experienced it personally, then there were times like in the meetings where I could see him like nudge others, you know, sort of not overtly or obvious, you know, never made anyone feel uncomfortable. But I could see where he would kind of subtly nudge people, you know, or ask a certain question in a certain way. And then it would get people to answer. And then it was kind of all okay. Like, he just had such a good way about it. And I remember just really, after, again, personally experiencing it, trying to adapt my meetings and my leadership in a similar way. So, you know, you don't want to ignore things, but you don't want to make people uncomfortable in the meeting in front of all their peers. So how can you have those other conversations, maybe even beforehand, or bring it out okay in the right way?
Wow. Sounds like a model just for you to hang around with him and watch him work and pick that up and actually see it in action really sticks with you. I had someone like that in my life too, who did that same thing. So was there anything that you shared what Barry did and how he modeled, and did he have any kind of sayings or any things that particular principles that you think he shared with you that you can share with us?
Well, I'll tell you a quirky one that I thought at the time, I was like, this is so weird, but it was very endearing. He, like in his office, he had two chairs in front of the desk. And so when people came in to visit with him and sat in one of the chairs, he would come around the desk and sit next to you and say, you know, I'm going to come over here so we can just sit on the front porch and have a conversation. And it was like, again, kind of quirky, but very endearing because it really, you know, it took that barrier of the desk away. And now you're just having a conversation. And I don't recall him doing that in our first few meetings. I think he was trying to understand me, let me get to know him. I'm sure, and I know he did it with everybody, you know, but then we understand one another. Now we can have kind of more folksy conversation or,
yeah,
you know, have a little more realness.
Yeah, didn't get too intimate too quick and kind of earn the right to be heard and those kind of things. I love that front porch idea. So tell us about how you apply this in your work as an employee engagement specialist and how this in your life with these things that you learned from Barry.
Yeah. So I help leaders and teams create workplaces people love. And that's really about the, you know, the culture within the workplace, all of the things that are happening. You know, are there good conversations? Is there good information being shared so people are not in the dark? Are there rewards and recognitions? Are people having fun? Are they collaborating? Is there development? You know, all of those things go into creating a great workplace. And during this time that I worked for Barry, I was highly engaged, as you can imagine. You know, I felt appreciated. I felt valued. He was developing me, you know, for future opportunities that I was hoping to get. So I was highly engaged. And I take a lot of that experience in the times that I worked, you know, in a corporate setting, of the times that I felt very engaged and what was going on, and the times where I didn't feel as engaged and what was going on there, you know, and that's how I kind of observe and help people and give them ideas about different things they could do to create a great workplace.
Well, as we're wrapping up here, what would you leave us with as far as some ideas to take with us as leaders?
So I think one of the things you mentioned earlier was about being a good role model, you know, and doing the work, modeling how to be a great leader. But, you know, what it boiled down to for me, that was sort of the light bulb moment, if you will, was give people the feedback they need. I can't tell you how many times in all these years that I've thought back on that. Had he never given me that feedback, I just don't know, you know, what would have come of me next, because I was struggling a little bit, you know, and feeling a little like, why isn't this working? I don't understand. And you know, a lot of times people don't understand until their leadership helps them,
right,
and develops them.
Well, thanks so much, Dana, for sharing us about Barry as his small time leadership in your life, and to give people honest feedback and have some time on the front porch. And look forward to hearing you on our next podcast on Thursday. So you have a good day and we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Dana. Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to MichaelAllenTate.com or SmallTimeLeaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.